Hello and welcome. My name is Peter Sumpton, marketing consultant and Lego master of marketing. And you're listening to the Marketing Study Lab podcast live. Well, this bit isn't live, but the rest of it is. You'll hear a bit about that later. I mean, now. Well, let's crack on. These episodes are taken from my live show, Marketing And, where we look at the relationship between marketing and a specific topic, subject, or specialism. Sometimes there'll be guests, other times it'll just be me. So let's get cracking. And we're live, we're back live, and I've got a guest this week. You've had 2 weeks of just me, so it's great that I have got a guest again this week. And what a privilege to have Lenka Kopovar with me today on Marketing Study Lab Live. First of all, Lenka, thank you so much for saying you'll do this and joining me.
Of course, happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Excellent. So as the ticker at the bottom says, we're going to be talking about marketing and social media, but social media events as well. And we'll come on to that in a little bit after you have just explained to the audience a little bit more about yourself, about the wonderful world of Lenka.
Okay, so hello everyone. I'm Lenka and I'm a social media consultant. And aside from running my own business, doing social media strategies and content and trainings, I'm also the founder of Cambridge Social Media, which is an organization, it's a community for small business owners and freelancers where we help each other and we support our community with anything social media marketing related. And from there, we started with monthly meetups, which obviously this year is not as easy to run in-person meetups. So we turned our monthly meetups into weekly Facebook Live training sessions and Zoom workshops. And I'm also the organizer of Cambridge Social Media Day, which again, this year going virtual. So it's a virtual conference in November. And I'm super happy that Peter is running a session for us there as well.
Hey, yes, so am I. Thank you so much for the opportunity to do that. Really looking forward to that as well. And you'll see that over social in the coming weeks, but really super excited for that and to be part of it and to get to know a bit of your community as well, which will be really, really cool. Okay, so like I said at the start, all we're going to do today is have a bit of a chat around social media events. So first and foremost, if people have got any questions, post them in the comments and we'll get round to them, or just say hello or a shout out or whatever you want to do. That's fine with me. But so first, Lenka, 2020 has been a bit different to other years from you know, for the past 20, 30 years. It's been slightly different to what we're used to. How have you had to, well, first of all, how did you make the decision to go ahead with your event? And secondly, what changed? No, first, let's do one question at a time. How did you make that decision to do this event?
It was very interesting this year because I've run two in-person events in the past 2 years, and it's kind of started as my side project. With it just was my idea after running a couple of meetups to be like, how hard could it be to run all-day conference for about 200 people? Harder than you imagine. 2 years in a row, people loved it, but it was very stressful. So I was at the end of last year, finished this event in November, and I was kind of pondering what to do next. And I found partners. I found, you know, one of my business colleagues, Alex Hughes from Shifties, who we've known each other for a while. And we had a couple of conversations about what I want, where he's heading, where I'm heading, to be like, well, actually, this sounds like a perfect partnership. So then we nailed down the plan. We had a very ambitious plan for the third annual Cambridge Social Media Day. We plan to change venues, go bigger and better. And we made an announcement first week of March that we're doing it. It will be bigger and better. And a week later, we're like, what's just happened? So we went back to the drawing board and to be like, so what do we do? Do we postpone the event and make do nothing? Or do we hope that it will be okay in November? Because, you know, in March, it looked like it might be just a couple of weeks and everything will be okay in November. Or do we go the safe way? We still want to do something for the audience. We still want to keep the momentum of yearly events doing. We still want to celebrate. So let's do it online and let's figure out a way. to bring the best conference, the best event, the best virtual experience for people, for our communities online.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So yeah, bit of a no-brainer, but still something that you really have to consider, because I'm guessing the way you would lead up to that and well, not necessarily lead up to it, but structure it is hugely different. So what's the differences that you're seeing, because you're right in the middle of this now, the differences you're seeing from trying to organize something that's face-to-face, that's offline, to something that is, let's class it as virtual. I don't really like that phrase, but let's class it as virtual.
It's interesting because the feedback that we've got from the past events and the things that really mattered to me during organizing these events was the people vibe, the friendliness, the community, the energy of other people, which is, you know, is the hardest thing to do online. So when we thought about this, obviously I wanted to have great speakers, I wanted to have great content, I wanted to make sure that what we're providing is relevant, it's timely, it's helpful, it's designed for audience. But the biggest challenge was thinking about how we do we translate our values of really the community feel and the positive, friendly vibe online. And I consulted with a couple of facilitators, people who are like workshop hosts and who had to turn their whole business virtual this year to break down the event, to make sure that we pay attention to people's energy, that we don't just overwhelm them with videos and just staring at a screen some time away or some exercises away. And that also that we have a tool that supports what we do, that supports this feeling of online interactions, and it allows us as much as we can to represent the real life feeling and look and atmosphere of in-person event. And I think we found a solution. I think we found a pretty cool tool, and we planned the layout of the event, like the virtual layout. So we're planning virtual layout for our virtual conference room and conference building, and we've planned a lineup and agenda of those 2 days with the mind of people's energy and there, not only for them to learn some factual things, but to have as many opportunities as possible to interact, network, meet, connect, build partnerships, build connections, find people, like them. Because I always remember people coming year after year to me from those conferences to be like, this person that I've met, that I sat next to, you know, we started working together, we started accountability group together, we started this, and I want this to translate to the online event as much as we can.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big ask in some ways, but from a positive point of view, people have had at least half a year to get used to communicating more on tools such as StreamYard or Zoom or Teams or you name 6, 10, 20 or 100 of them at this moment in time. You know, we all wish we had shares in those back in February. Life would be slightly different right now, I expect. So with the actual event then, I'm just interested to know, I do know, but it would be good for people that are watching or listening to note that, so it's a social media event. So the focus on social media, fantastic. But that isn't just the topics that you're going to be covering. So why, first of all, if you could explain just a couple of the topics that are, you know, exciting for you as the creator of the event. But secondly, why are you covering topics that might not be specifically geared towards social media?
So even though it is a Cambridge Social Media Day and the main theme is social media marketing, I always tell my community, I always tell my clients that social media can't stay alone. None of the marketing tactics can stand alone. You can't do just video marketing. You can't do just email marketing. You can't do just SEO. It's all, not only all digital tools, but all marketing tools and tactics and techniques, they need to be complemented to each other. They need to be put into a plan and strategy. So that's where we do focus on social media, and lots of our content will be platform specific or social media content specific. But we then have other topics that are relevant. This year's kind of overall theme is focused on customer experience and delivering great customer feeling, customer journey, customer experience, be it online, which is what we most of us can do, but also thinking about how can you improve the current offline experience and the future offline experience. And then we have a couple of sessions that are looking at marketing automation and looking at building lists, because no matter how much I love social media, I still know that using social media purely, it's building a house on a rented land. And algorithm can change, someone can hack your account, this can go wrong, and out of nowhere, you're with nothing. So we do put lots of emphasis on having your own website, having your own CRM, having your own mailing list, and using social media to drive these other kind of communities that you have a bigger feel of ownership. And if something happens, you have something that is actually owned and you can then still connect with your community and customers and prospects.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you said that. So I've got, the way I explain that is, and this comes down to the old holding a pen and the merch, if you like. And, you know, everybody likes a bit of merch as long as you're not paying for it. And so I always explain it in terms of that isn't really going to move somebody to purchase very much, mm-hmm. but it's just 1% of what you should be doing. And if you have 99 other 1%, that's a huge shift. So a pen alone with your logo on isn't going to shift people that much. But it's more brand awareness. And in the grand scheme of things, if you're doing other elements, including merchandise, that's a bigger proposition than just the one channel or the one piece of merchandise, which is exactly what you're saying in terms of just having social media alone is precarious because that changes. So, you know, you have to really think of your strategy, which is really cool. So this year is about customer experience then. So let's just shift it towards social for this moment in time. What kind of things should we be looking at on social to generate a better customer experience then?
So first things first, it's about being aware where on social media you're active, where you have accounts, if they have been used, if they've not been used, then why you have them, and just do a little bit of an audit to actually be aware where your customers might come across you. And if they come across you there, is everything working? If they land on your Facebook page and send you a message, will you see the notification? Will you be able to respond? If not, put processes in place to either close down accounts or make sure that it's very clear to people that, you know, this is not your active platform to go and direct message you here and there, email you, call you. It will be my first advice, is just making sure that you look at all the potential windows and doors where people can kind of run away and miss on experience. Mm-hmm. And it's just about, for me with social media, it is about not selling all the time. Even though, yes, we use social media marketing to promote, the customer experience is all about them. It's about providing them with value, building relationships, connecting with them, helping them, serving them, finding the pain that your customers and prospects have, and how you can use social media and content on social media to help them and provide them value without actually being just buy from me selling of this. No one has signed up to LinkedIn or Facebook or especially places like Instagram to be bombarded by ads and be sold to. We're coming to social media to connect, to get updates and get news, to be entertained, to be inspired. We're not coming there to see advertising. So if we see advertising, then it needs to serve us. It needs to help us with whatever it is that we need. It needs to be interesting. It needs to be engaging. And it needs to be helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. And it always interests me when you see maybe something that is on the surface dry and a bit dull and boring, and people think that, well, there's nothing we can say that is of interest. You know, we do whatever it might be, and I'm not picking on any industry here, but for example, we do insurance. So what the hell can we say? It's just boring. Everybody has to have it, but you know, they don't really want it. We're just asking for their money, so they, whatever it might be. But even that, you look at, you know, compare the Meerkat and Go Compare and all that kind of stuff, and it's most of that's got nothing to do with insurance. So similar thing on social for small, medium, or large companies, that it's not just about what you do. It's about that brand and that culture and pushing something to people that they will resonate with your audience, like you were saying there, absolutely superb. Do you think that when people start to use different social platforms, there's that worry that they chase that new shiny thing? Are you a fan of just focusing on one platform at a time, or would you say have a healthy mix? Or what's your take on that?
Yeah, I'm definitely suggesting people to be aware of trying to be everywhere and spreading themselves too thinly, especially the audience, the community I'm working with, where it's people who tend to do their own marketing. They don't have a big marketing team. They don't have too much time. So they're very limited resources. So my suggestion always is pick one or two priority platforms where you know that your target customers are, but also the platforms that you would enjoy, you know, using. There's no point of picking a platform that someone suggested because of demographic research. It's being said that it's more likely to have your target customers there, but you are just dreading and hating the user interface, the way it works. But on the other hand, you love being on Instagram and you love doing stories and you love talking to people. And even though maybe Instagram is not the number one platform that you would expect your customers to be, it still can work perfectly, and you still have, these days, all the platforms have pretty balanced, you know, demographics. You know, you can have all sorts of people on all sorts of platforms. I don't think it's like very demanding to say like only Instagram will work for you or only Twitter will work for you. But I would say pick one platform or two that you enjoy and that you really can see yourself spending time on, creating content for, and engaging with people on.
Probably something that you can resonate with, and that's FOMO. What would you say to somebody that is, and again, it's probably reiterating what you've said, but what would you say to somebody that is, say, focused on Instagram and they're getting good engagement there, and they're like, but I'm worried I'm missing out on Facebook, or I'm worried I'm missing out on LinkedIn. You know, what would you advise them? Like, test the water or stay true to what you know? Or
I would always say, if you want to experiment, you can dedicate like 10% of your time to experiment and keep an eye on other platforms. I'm not saying that you should not be on all channels. You can have profiles and keep them kind of maintained on all the channels and really deep dive on one platform. But I would say, yeah, try to really appreciate the platform that you're using, because especially like now, but it's been a trend in social media, that social media networks are changing so fast. Even I can't keep up with all the new tools, new updates, new features, new this on all the channels. And this is my business. I can't imagine how, you know, anyone who has a business whose focus is photography, flowers, consultants, anything else, and so doing marketing, doing social media marketing, it's just 10-20% of their time. How they can stay on top of all the new Instagram stories, reels, guides, IGTV live, all the stickers, all the algorithm changes, all the things, and really be able to use and leverage the platform properly. Like today, I discovered that LinkedIn has a newsletter feature. Never heard of it before. I'm like, this is pretty cool. But again, LinkedIn is not my number one platform. That's why I don't know these things. But if I was, I would hope that I know about it and I've considered it for my strategy.
I mean, LinkedIn is probably my main platform. I love it, but it can be as frustrating as hell, because like exactly what you said, they release things, and they only release it to a certain amount of people. And then that gets around the world. And it's like, why the hell haven't we got this? And it's only select amount of people and all that kind of stuff, which is hugely frustrating. But I don't get that feel from other platforms that they really do that. I feel that they're much more, we've tested it and pretty much everyone can have it. Or am I missing something there? Is that the case on all of them?
There are still bugs. I think other platforms do it less. Once they decide to launch something, they test it in a couple countries and then they launch it globally. But like, for example, I have 5 client Instagram accounts. On 3 of them, I have the new app layout. On the rest of them, I have Reels. On my personal, like, create a business account, I don't have Reels. Google materials. The same with Facebook. Like, I don't have the new Facebook layout. It's never been switched to me. I don't have the option to switch. I'm like, you don't like me? Why did you like me? Why me? Why my personal account? Why my business account? Why all my clients do have it and I can use it for them, but why can't I use it for myself? So I think LinkedIn is the worst. Twitter is also really bad in announcing new features. They also tend to hide lots of the features to be like, we've released something, but only if you know, then you will know. But otherwise, you will not know. Like, Media Studio is one of the best hidden features of Twitter that pretty much no one knows that it exists. And it's like the best way for you to sharing videos and any kind of media on Twitter.
Okay. I've never heard of that.
Exactly. There is still not enough video content on Twitter. It's one of the platforms where video is still underutilized and there's a lot more opportunities for people to do more video content. But because Twitter has certain restrictions and then you can't have this and that, out of nowhere people don't use it. But if you know that there is a media studio where you can upload all your media, your videos, you can actually add a description and a clickable call to action to your videos. You can schedule directly within Twitter. Out of nowhere, mind blown. You can so much more with this platform. But as you said, no one knows this.
That's crazy. I've just noticed, because I'm fairly new to StreamYard, but if I click that, it's a bit better. We've got more room. I don't feel as boxy. And I must admit, I'm obviously not at home. I'm in an office. And I've just realized it almost looks like I've just put this big bright light all the way behind me. It's just a white wall, but it just looks a bit startling. So I need to learn from that, really. Just a couple of shout outs, really. So Phil's joined us. He just says hello. And then this is another thing. It's like, StreamYard, get that sorted. But I think you need to GDPR stuff with StreamYard. And that was Tony that sent that hello. So hello anyone that's watching. Just out of interest, what platform do you enjoy using then the most?
I enjoy Instagram the most. Mm-hmm. I enjoy stories. I enjoy reels. I really enjoy that it's very personal. It's very in the moment. It's really kind of real and authentic. And it's still, you can still do great business there, but it feels very friendly. I do like LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And they're like, this year, LinkedIn has been fantastic in the amount of really quality engagement and support that's been happening on LinkedIn. But I prefer, like, I do my own social media kind of interactions, mainly on mobile. And I just find Instagram is the most mobile friendly and the most fun.
Okay, that's cool. See, I don't use Instagram at all. I just don't. I don't know. I think it's just that one too many for me. And I've never really got around to utilizing it in any way, shape or form. But there you go, it's just it's your preference, isn't it?
It is, and you know, I love it because part of my lifestyle and my business brand, it is all about travel and it is all about a lifestyle, and I love traveling, I love eating out, I love taking photos of these things, and you know, that's the perfect Instagram place, and that's how I built my brand. People know that not only I do social media, but people know me for me. They know me for my hiking, mm-hmm. They know me for my dog. They know me for my, you know, latte art and all the food that I go to. And that's a thing that people will remember as well as that I do social media. So it's more likely for them to remember me, really build the connection with me. And if they ever need me, they know they can find me.
Yeah. And because I'm not on Instagram, mm-hmm. I just get a glimpse of that. So I've seen some of your photos, and yeah, you go to some amazing places. Yeah, it's really cool. Love it. Maybe not that many this year, but you know.
I managed a little bit this year, and I managed to do the best that I could from where I am right now, which is back home in the countryside in my family home. So I managed to use the most I can in the nature and stuff like that.
So I'm just getting some feedback from somewhere. It's like, I think that's my end. That's weird. It's like, I think somebody's on the home side, but they're like,
I hear people talking. Yeah, that's not just you, just someone else.
I don't know. There's no one in this office. That's a bit freaky. Anyway, it seems
really freaky. Like, there's no one in this house right now, so it can't be coming from me.
That's a bit scary. Yeah, there's literally nobody in this office. Anyway, okay, let's move on. Let's just blame that on Instagram or something. This is a really, really big question for me, okay? So, and I hear this a lot, and I've got my own answer to this, but you deal with a lot more smaller businesses than I do. And people must, one of the questions you must get asked a lot is, I just don't have the time to do it. So what would you say to people that say, I haven't got the time?
I would say to people who don't have the time, you know, consider what it can do for you. Consider what benefits, why would you use it? It's not using social media for the sake of using social media. If you want to use social media just to be on social media, then it's ill advice. But social media should be a reason for using it. There should be a reason. There should be purpose. You should be using it strategically. So it's always an excuse. I don't have time to go to gym. I don't have time to eat healthy. I don't have time for this. Like, if I know the goal, if I know why am I doing it, not just because everyone telling me and I see on Instagram that I should be going to gym, but if I want to feel better, if I want to be healthier, if I want to be more capable, then I will exercise, I will eat better. Mm-hmm. And the same goes for social media. If you want social media marketing to work for you, if you see it as a helpful, beneficial tool that can help your business to grow, can help you to get the lifestyle that you want, that can give you this time and space and freedom and revenue that you want, then you will make it a priority to put a plan in place, pick a network, and invest the time into it. And I would say that social media, especially at the beginning, feels like a big time commitment and a big investment. And it definitely is something that you will have to do forever and ever. But at the same time, if you build it and you spend time, then over time, it will be much easier to keep it ticking over, to keep it activated, to keep the leads coming through there. So it will become your second nature. You will figure out the processes, and actually, if you put the investment in, then it will really help you. It has the potential to help you to have the business and the life that you want.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. And my take, particularly when I'm teaching, and people all have busy lives, and you know they're working, they're studying, they want some sort of social life, and they say, "I've got no time." And the first thing I say to them is, because sometimes you need that commitment, particularly if you're going to add something extra to your life, either something has to move and shift, or you need to find that time somewhere. So I always say, okay, so what did you do last weekend? And usually the answer is either Netflix or chilled out or did something. And I'm just like, well, there you go. And I'm not advocating working over weekends. Everyone's got a different preference, but it's almost like, okay, we'll take half an hour out of your evening or half an hour out of a Saturday and a Sunday. You've clawed back that's like 3 to 4 hours a week just for half an hour each evening or in the morning. Get up, yep, that extra half hour. And it doesn't have to be that whole, because like you said, social's huge, it's daunting. How do I cover everything? Just start small. Just don't cover everything. Just start small. There's always ways to find time.
And I would say, if it really is such a big thing and you don't have the opportunity to put the time aside to really build a strong plan and strategy, and you really want to do something, the best thing you can do on social media is be present. So even if it's that you don't have the time to really create content and put all the effort into, you know, do videos, do training, do blog posts, do this, because yes, it can be time consuming. Even if all you can do is spend 5 minutes with your coffee in the morning or after your lunch break, instead of watching TikTok and YouTube videos, spend the time, go to whichever platform, look what other people have posted, find the people who are your ideal customers, follow them, connect with them, comment on their stuff, share their stuff, DM them, and start building the relationship. See it as, you know, building friendships, like the same way you would check in on your family and you would check in on your friends. Build this habit of checking in on your social media community. And even this, just very passively without pushing content out there, but kind of proactively reaching out to people, connecting with them, even if you just comment on their stuff, reshare their content, you know, give them a thumbs up and give them a lift up. That's an amazing time investment that will pay off for your business.
Yeah, I completely agree. I always try to explain it to people is you need to see these platforms. If you're a business owner or you're in business or you want to use it from that respect, you need to see them very differently to what you have been seeing them, because they're not, like you said, it's not, you're not going on there to, I hate to say socialize, you're not going on there to use it for what it was built for. You're going on there to engage in a very, very different way. And you need to, it's a complete different mind shift for some people. And as soon as you see that mind shift, as soon as you see that difference, the platforms become very different places. Like, I've met some amazing people, you know, I met you purely through LinkedIn, probably through somebody else that I met on LinkedIn. And it's just, it's that craziness. And if I was on there just for watching videos or consuming the content passively, I wouldn't be speaking to you right now. And that would be a sad world.
Exactly. It really unlocks so much opportunities business-wise. Like, obviously, most of my business comes from social, it comes from being active on social media. But it is less about the content that I put out there, even though, yes, I do put blogs and I have ebooks and, you know, I do video training. But it then comes to me just showing up to when people post something, when I see that they do something that they've tried and I'm just like commenting and sharing and liking. They remember that. They remember how that made them feel, that someone gave them thumbs up, that someone supported them. And if they then need your help, they're more likely to come to you. So it's really helpful if you just build relationships and help others genuinely.
Yeah. And like you said, just, you don't even have to post yourself. Just get involved. Just comment. Yeah. And that is just type in, tap away. And that's all it is. Just start with that. And it might not be for you. That's the thing. And you just learn as you go along. But I think that was the thing for me with Instagram. I probably didn't use it to the best of my ability, but it just didn't work for me in the way that I work.
And that's absolutely fine. Again, you just do you and you be where you want to be. But I think that every platform these days gives you all the accessibility options. So I know that some people are not the ones who would type. And other people are not the ones who would do video. And other people are not the ones who would like to talk. So you have the options. You can type, you can record audio, you can record videos, you can communicate with people in the way that feels the most natural to you.
Mm. And I suppose one thing to note there, and I'm just talking from a LinkedIn basis, it's doing those different things that make you stand out. You might feel a little uncomfortable, and I'm not advocating. I personally feel if you're in that little uncomfortable zone, that's when you start to grow and develop. But for some people, they're just not there, and that's absolutely fine. But it's things like messaging, and I don't do it enough, but like yesterday, I was messaging somebody, and they, instead of trying to type out a long-winded message back, they did an audio, and it stands out like a sore thumb. And if you did a video when everyone else is doing audio, it just stands out like a sore thumb, and that's on a personal level. You know, so there's so many opportunities. Just one quick question. I'm just conscious of time, but I thought I'd pop this up because, James, it's pretty much what we've been talking about just there. So talk to people is a great strategy to grow your business, and social allows us to talk to people at scale. Yeah. And he loves the chat, which is absolutely superb, but it's only great because Lenka's on with me today, which is fantastic in itself. So just on that point that James says, talking to people at scale, I suppose you can do both, can't you? You know, I've just been talking about speaking to people on DM, and that's a one-to-one basis. But I noticed you just posted something. It was weird because before we got on this chat, I was looking at LinkedIn and there was a video of you, and then you popped up on my screen and I'm like, okay, like double Lenka, amazing day. But yeah, it's like you're speaking to people at scale on video, and that's a huge benefit.
Well, I think that's where the benefit and the beauty of social media lies, because social media allows you to reach out to anyone and everyone. It is an open democratic platform where there is no gatekeeper. You can send a message out there and millions of people can see it.
Mm.
At the same time, it allows every single individual to be able to interact back with you. There is no one, you know, it's not like you can't interact with TV. You can shout at it, but that's probably the only thing you will do. But if you don't like something, you can interact with it. And if you keep majority of your conversations on the public domain where someone tweets you, someone messages you, someone comments and you keep the conversation going to a certain point publicly, yes, exactly. It is public. Everyone else can see it. So even though you are investing in a conversation 101, potentially under comments on LinkedIn, under someone's post, that you reply, they reply back, you have a conversation. For you, it might be, I'm having a conversation with one person, but there might be hundreds of other people who will read a conversation and who will align, who might comment or might not comment, who might follow you because of that, who might like you because of that. And then, yes, it's just then taking it to the next level of, you know, picking from the scale the people who will resonate with you and then taking those relationships to the next level by going through the DMs and going through one-on-one personalized chat.
And that's why it's so important to be yourself, isn't it? You know, because you want to resonate with people that you want to work with eventually. And if you're you and people can see you for you and they are still willing, well, in my case, they're still willing to chat to me, then that means that they can put up with me and my ramblings on marketing, how important strategy and everything else is. I'm really conscious of time, but the things that I want to cover, and then I want to go quickly back to your social media event this year. First thing is, people get hung up on the likes, the comments, and all that kind of stuff. How do you stop people from worrying if they're putting out content and there's not that much engagement on the face of it from what they're seeing stat-wise?
So there are statistics and numbers that are meaningful and there are stats that are meaningless. Like watching the numbers of followers doesn't really matter. Like on Twitter and Instagram, on other platforms, if you use the right hashtags, if your content is interesting and valuable, then it will be spread widely and it can go way beyond your number of followers. So it's important to understand the meaningful metrics, the metrics that really show you the indication of the quality and the interest in your content, in your business, in your offering, which could be, you know, comments, could be shares, it could be DMs. Obviously, it is web traffic, it is email signups, kind of, it is video views, repeat views. But I would say, especially at the early stages, it takes a long while. It is very interesting to see that social media works kind of exponentially in a way that there is a long lead up to then quite quick growth. Mm. So it can take often, sometimes, you know, 12 to 18 months of day-to-day activity, of especially podcasters can see that, the example of podcast after podcast, that the first 9 months, just nothing happens. And then out of nowhere, it goes like this. It goes fast. But without putting the work in the first stage, you wouldn't get there.
Mm.
There is something about, you know, resilience and consistency and persevere and understanding that even though social media will give you results immediately, you can measure anything and everything from 3 second views to, you know, likes here and there. It's important to know that the meaningful metrics and the meaningful results take time. And be patient.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's a marathon, not a sprint. At the end of the day. So just moving back to your event, just I suppose two quick questions really before we wrap up. What's the worst thing about organizing an event online?
I think the worst thing is kind of not knowing if the technology will work. Because in person, you know, yes, there are some tech aspects that you need to pay attention to, like a microphone and stuff like that. But also then you actually have real people in real life in the room with you to help you. But this way where, you know, we are all in our rooms, we're all in different parts of the world. If something goes wrong, be it for our team, be it for myself, be it for one of the attendees, how will I be able to help them and fix it? I was always the fixer, running around, solving problems, doing this and this, and knowing that everything is under control and who is the person, where do I go? And right now I feel like very on if something goes wrong, yes, I know the person, but I can't do anything. And if something's not working on someone's laptop, how will I help them to fix it? Because I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a main worry, because that's the whole event, isn't it? So on the flip side, what's the best thing about organizing this event or any event that you've done in the past?
I think organizing online events really allows you not to be bounded by location, because we've always been, it was mainly Cambridge event, we had people from UK coming, but there was always the commuting, there was always the drive and park and stuff like that. And this way we can welcome audiences from all around the world, and we had people coming to our workshops and Facebook events, people from not only Europe, we managed to get people from all around the world coming to Cambridge Social Media Group to connect with others and work with others and learn with others, which is the most wonderful feeling, because I love connecting people and love being connected to different people from different places, learn about how social media works there and what it can learn from them. So I think this is the best thing, that we can take the event globally.
Absolutely superb. So let's wrap up just by a summary of the event itself. And if people want to get in touch with you, or they can come through me to get in touch with you, where are you pointing them? Where should they go?
So the event will take place on November 17th and 18th. We will start on the 17th with afternoon of inspiring talks. We'll have some amazing speakers talking about, as I said, customer service. And just a quick name drop, we have a special keynote guest, Daniel Priestley, talking about how to get oversubscribed, which I'm mind blown. And we will obviously, as I said, we will have some networking, and we'll have some facilitated sessions, and we'll have some after party. On 18th of November, we'll have a series of workshops. So there will be lots of sessions running simultaneously. People can choose one or two or three during the day to attend real time. Everything is recorded. You will get access to all the recordings, so you can watch them afterwards. And again, there will be a little bit of mindfulness, a little bit of kind of facilitated sessions, some organized co-working, and again, after party afterwards. If this sounds like something you would like to get involved, you want to be part of the community, you want to learn with us, you want to experience our online platform, our virtual conference, you want to experience meeting others and, you know, have a positively great experience, because this will be fun. Like, yes, you will learn, yes, there will be some great stuff, but it will be great fun, it will be friendly and welcoming. So then join us. You can find out more, just follow me on social media, it's all over my social media, or just head over to cambridgesocial.media and you'll find the links there as well.
Yeah, you can't miss it if you follow them. You'll notice it leading up to the event. And also there's an amazing second day workshop about customer personas going on that I'm happily running. So I really look forward to that. That'll be cool. Creating ideas as we speak. So that'll be really cool. And thanks for that opportunity again. So for me and everybody listening or watching, Lenka, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening and staying with me till the end. Not many people do on podcasts. If you want to chat a bit more marketing, feel free to hit me up on LinkedIn. Email me at petersumpton@marketingstudylab.co.uk, or join our Facebook group, Growing and Thriving. Just search for Marketing Study Lab on Facebook. Happy marketing.